Hi, everyone, and thanks for joining us for another episode of the ODs on Facebook podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Fayez Mahgoub, and today we're going to be discussing sports vision training. Joining us for this episode is Dr. Jennifer Stewart. Dr. Stewart is a partner at Norwalk Eye Care in Norwalk, Connecticut. She's also the founder and chief vision officer at Performance 2020, which is a specialty optometric practice dedicated to sports vision enhancement. Dr. Stewart is originally from New Paltz, New York, and attended Marist College for her undergraduate studies before attending the New England College of Optometry for optometry school. In 2018, Dr. Stewart's practice, Norwalk Eye Care, was recognized as a best practice by Cooper Vision. And in 2019, Dr. Stewart was recognized with the Thea Award for Innovation by Women in Optometry. Dr. Stewart's experience in sports vision training includes working with athletes in the NHL, NFL, as well as professional athletes in squash and lacrosse. Thank you very much for joining us today, Dr. Stewart. I'd love to start off by learning about how you discovered sports vision training and what actually got you started in the field.
So I've always been an athlete. I was an athlete when I was younger. I was an athlete through high school. I'm a former Division I track and field athlete at Marist College. So I always was involved in sports, but wanted to find a way to include sports with my profession. And when I decided on optometry, I was fortunate enough to find the field of sports and performance vision when I was in optometry school. So for me, it's been a great way to continue to be involved in athletics, both on kind of my side of still competing in athletics, but also to work with athletes and to do that with helping them improve and to combine that with my day job.
That's really awesome. How did you find those first steps of getting involved even before you graduated from school? Was that kind of a difficult process or was it an easy thing to jump into?
So I was fortunate when I was in optometry school that one of my family friends was an optometrist, and he introduced me early on to Dr. Don Teague, who at the time was practicing in Ridgefield, Connecticut. And he's really been involved in the field of sports and performance vision for probably close to 40 years. So I was fortunate when I was a second year student that I was introduced to him, and Don's worked with students for decades and took me under his wing and brought me down to his practice in Connecticut when I was in school and had me shadow him, had me shadow his therapists throughout school. He had me come with him on some of the events that he did working with the Knicks. I was able to come down and work with him when he did a screening of the Knicks. And I was on a team through Johnson & Johnson, which was called the Worldwide Performance Vision Council. So I was nominated to be on that team, which helped set up protocols, testing and training protocols leading to the Beijing Olympics. So through that team, I was able to really get exposed to sports and performance vision, both nationally and internationally, and build up this huge network of people, both optometrists and research scientists, other people in the sports and performance world. So I just have been fortunate to find people and network and ask good questions and find that people are really genuinely interested in helping and helping you understand the field. And now I think, you know, now that I've been doing it a long time, I feel like I've kind of turned that corner, and now I'm fortunate to be out there helping people and speaking and consulting and doing podcasts and things like this to really get the word out about the field, not only to optometrists, but to other sports professional people that work with athletes, but just to get the word out about what it is that the field is. How can people get involved? How can they learn more? How can they set up their own practice? What can they do to be a part of this? And to really get the word out that it goes beyond having just 20/20 vision, that sports vision is not just how we see, but there's a whole world out there, and helping educate the public and educate athletes and parents and other people who work with athletes that there's a whole nother realm of training and a different way to give athletes an edge.
Absolutely. How about we first take on what you feel the benefits are for an OD who would be starting sports vision?
So I think for any OD who has an interest in sports and is looking to find a way to work with patients on a different level, sports and performance vision is a great way to do that. So, you know, finding something you have a passion for, and that might not be sports vision, but it could be dry eye or low vision or contact lenses, pediatrics. But first looking and saying, what do I really enjoy? Is there something else with optometry I'd like to do? And then figuring out how to do that. And I've been working with a number of doctors throughout the years who have that passion or that interest in sports vision, but might not know where to start. They said, you know, I want to do this, but I don't know how to do it in my practice. Do I do it in my current location? Do I start another location? What's the budget? How do I do this? So I think for anyone looking to start in sports and performance vision, there's great resources. The AOA sports vision section is great. There's a huge committee there who's really trying to work on getting the word out and getting both optometry and the public involved. The International Sports Vision Association is another great organization that has a lot of education and programs. There's a national, international meeting coming up in a few weeks that is chock full of information, both for ODs and other professionals. So there is a lot of information out there, but first I think identifying what you want to do and how that works and kind of being honest with yourself about what you'd like to do and then kind of setting a process of how to get there.
That's a really good point, is that it's a process where sometimes it can seem a little intimidating really to jump into any specialty, right?
It's a process. And I think it took me a long time to take that first step because the first step is the hardest. And you know, I always wanted to do this and I thought I would start a sports vision practice when I graduated optometry school, but it took me a good, I think, 8 years because I graduated. I spent a year just figuring out how to be an OD and be by myself and see patients and stay on schedule and manage all of these things that were easier when you're in school and having a preceptor or you know, just seeing patients by myself. And then I moved to Connecticut. I graduated from New England College of Optometry in 2007, and then I moved to Connecticut in August of 2008 to join my current practice and became a partner in 2010. So it was busy, you know, learning a new practice, growing a practice, being in a very fast-paced private practice with a lot of different moving parts. So I think I every year I said, okay, this is the year. This is the year of sports vision. I can do it this year. And then life gets busy, but kind of sitting down and being realistic about goals and saying, this is something I want to do. It might not be this year, but how can I get there? And what steps do I need to take? And finally, just taking the leap and doing it. My husband and I started Performance 2020 in 2015. I was actually home on maternity leave with my second son. So he was, you know, maybe 2 weeks old and I was writing a business plan, sitting outside, kind of making this plan happen. And I don't think there's ever a good time to start a new business. That's probably one of the most challenging times to do it, but it was the right time for us. And it's just been a huge roller coaster ever since of just really exciting things that have happened. And the path keeps changing and we keep trying new things. And I get to do very cool things like be on this podcast with you.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. And, you know, just curious about that process, you know, how do you feel like that's affected your ability to practice as a primary care provider or, you know, remain in the roles at least that you were at before sports vision? Do you feel like it's tough wearing the two hats or do you feel like it's a synergistic type process?
So I think I wear about 15 hats. It's, you know, fortunately I've been in my practice, you know, this is my 12th year and I see patients 3 to 4 days a week. So I'm here long, long days and see a lot of patients, but I'm not here 5 or 6 days. We now have 4 doctors in the practice. We've grown from a 2-doctor practice to a 4-doctor practice over the time that I've been here. So fortunately, I have a fantastic partner and 2 great associates. So when I'm not here, I know that patients are being taken care of. The days that I am here, I'm, you know, Norwalk Eye Care all day, although I'm at the practice right now. So lunchtime is a time to get things done. So I've learned to become really, really efficient and use every moment of time I have. So I, you know, lunchtime, I am doing things like this. I'm speaking to parents. I'm writing training plans. I'm, you know, doing consulting calls or writing consulting emails. So I use every minute of every day. So I feel like I wear a lot of hats, but it's taught me to be very, very good at time management. And I have 2 young boys. So when I go home, I want to be a mom. And I really try and shut my phone off until they go to bed. So I feel like just really trying to find the time during the day to get things done and to use every minute of my day allows me to have the ability to do all these things. And My brain is always going a million miles an hour. I carry a notebook around to jot down ideas as they come. But I think that having, that's the great thing about optometry. And I go back and speak to my undergrad. I'm going in a few weeks to speak to the students about optometry. I think that's one of the best things about optometry is the ability to create your own path and to have flexibility. And I've built that over, you know, a career of 13 years where I love seeing my patients. I love being in the office. I love practicing primary eye care and seeing my contact lens and dry eye patients. But I have the ability on the other days to wear another hat and wear a million hats, and that could be sports vision. I consult with a number of companies. I speak, I write. So it gives me that flexibility of doing both and being able to kind of turn on and off which role I'm doing.
That's really cool. I mean, I feel like I've met those ODs who are, you know, 10 or 20 years past what we think of as retirement age, and they're just, you know, super happy to be doing what they're doing. And I can sense that type of passion in your voice that you've incorporated all the things that you enjoy. And so it doesn't seem to me that it really feels like a chore for you to balance all these things.
It doesn't feel like work. And I really feel that everything that I'm doing, I enjoy. And I feel fortunate that if there's something I don't want to do, I don't have to do it. So I'm busy, but I enjoy all of it. And starting a new business from scratch is definitely not for the weak. And it takes a lot of time and a lot of patience and a lot of work. But it's just amazing to be able to step back and look at what we've created that didn't exist, and to look at all of the people over the last, I guess, coming up on 5 years that we've, all the people we've met, all the lives we've touched, all the athletes that we've worked with, all of their stories, and then all of the things that have come out of that. You know, all the people who have not heard of sports vision, but now know what that is, whether it's the public, other sports professionals, coaches, chiropractors, physical therapists, strength trainers, and then ODs, and hearing from other optometrists who say, oh, I heard your podcast and I love what you're doing and I'd love to do that one day, but I don't know how. Can you help me? And being able to watch them set up their own sports and performance vision training centers, which very well might look very different than mine, but seeing them take this idea or passion that they might have and helping them along the way and watching them develop it and the ideas that they have that I might not have thought of as well. So I think we're very, very fortunate in optometry to do what we do and to really impact the people we impact and to set our own path and to follow our passions within the field of optometry.
That's a really great point. And especially sounds like with sports vision is that there are so many different perspectives here, you know, depending on who you're working with, whether it's, you know, have athletes, you have families and other professionals like trainers, coaches, and you're kind of dealing with a lot of personalities. So as far as just the value proposition that sports vision is really bringing to the patient, what do you feel like that really is that's unique from the other experiences that athletes get as part of their sports training?
So I think, you know, a lot of people come to me saying, you know, I want to be a better athlete, and that might look different for everybody. And I always tell athletes it goes beyond what you're seeing. And we use the term sports vision, I think, because it's familiar, but I tell them it's not about your vision. And what I tell athletes is that if I can get you to see something faster, make a decision faster, and make a motor reaction faster, whatever sport you're playing, whatever position you're playing, you're going to be a better athlete. And it's really the athletes are improving not only their vision, and I'm putting quotes around that because I say that's what I do in my day job at Norwalk Eye Care is I help you see better. And you know, starting there with a comprehensive exam with glasses and contact lenses, but taking that to the next level and improving your eye-hand coordination, reaction, anticipation, decision-making, how you think, attention and focus have been a big thing that we've worked on over the years with athletes. We live in such a world that promotes multitasking and short attention spans. But when you get out on a playing field, that's detrimental to a great performance. If you're thinking about something else and you're not in the moment, you're not going to be successful. You know, I don't think NFL players are out there thinking about what they're having for dinner or how their test went. They are thinking about what they're doing at that moment. So that's something that sometimes we need to work on. I think we're all guilty of trying to multitask and do 10 things at once, but we can't actually do that. So we work with athletes a lot to just think about ways to put everything away and to not think about anything but what they're doing at that moment. The other benefit we've seen with that, and which looking back, I'm not surprised, but it was an unintended benefit, and something that was exciting was we've had athletes and parents tell us that their school performance has improved, that teachers are remarking that students are better at focusing attention, especially our athletes who might have challenges in school with focus and attention. They really, really have seen an improvement with sustained focusing, sitting still longer, you know, not fidgeting as much, and kind of an overall better experience in the classroom as well. So it has these great benefits. We work primarily with kids, and I'll say from 8 to, I mean, we have athletes in their, you know, we've had an athlete in his 80s, but you know, the bulk of our athletes are middle and high school and college athletes. So to have them have an academic benefit is just even better. And I think that helps really elevate the field of sports and performance vision as well, because it's not just about athletics. It can also help their academics.
That's a really cool approach. It seems that your perspective of it is more so to be neurosensory training to really help the athlete become more aware and also more productive.
And safer. You know, I said, you know, we don't do any concussion specific rehabilitation, but I said, you know, to parents, I say, you know, if we can get kids to be more attentive and more focused on the field, they're going to be more aware of what's going on, and they're going to be more aware of who's around them and what's going on. So, you know, there is some research out there that's looking at concussion and predictability, and how can we help athletes become more aware of what's going on as concussions become such a big hot topic. So if I can do my job to make an athlete more aware of their teammates and opponents around them, hopefully that helps them avoid collisions and impact and cuts down their risk of concussion as well.
We hear a lot of the talk about the diagnosis side and the treatment side, removal from play, which are definitely critical things. But, you know, it seems that us as optometrists have this unique opportunity to help enhance the player's awareness using their vision amongst other senses and integration of vision with other senses, like you said, to help them be able to protect themselves and actually be proactive in that type of situation, which I think is something that is unique that we bring to the table.
And every optometrist can do that. You know, I'm such a stickler in the office about asking kids and even adults, what sports do you play? And a lot of times kids are walking around so undercorrected because parents say, well, you know, they see okay, or they're not playing at a high level. But I tell them my opinion is that any refractive error should be corrected when they're playing a sport, no matter if they're going major league or not. You know, it's not only an enhancement, it's a safety issue. So I think every optometrist can be a sports vision practitioner, whether they go the next step to enhance vision or not. But taking a step and looking at every athlete that walks into your exam room and making sure that they have proper correction, proper safety is important too. You know, their eye injuries are such a rampant preventable issue. So making sure that we are up to date on the latest standards and latest testing and what's recommended, and making sure our optical and our optical staff are using the best materials and the best types of sports and safety eyewear, and making sure those are independently tested, and just being aware of what we're doing and the conversations we have. So, you know, anyone can work with athletes, and it doesn't have to be that you invest a ton of money into a sports vision training center, which some do. But, you know, if you have any interest in working with athletes, start by having a conversation in the exam room about sports and position, and making sure that, you know, that they're wearing protective eyewear, making sure that's independently tested, making sure their refractive error is corrected. So I think if we as optometrists embrace our primary care role with athletes, then we can start working on enhancement. But it starts in the exam room before we do anything else.
It sounds like that's potentially one of the entry points for people who aren't familiar with the sports vision side of your practice, is that maybe they enter through the primary care side and then they learn about what's available. So after that point, what does the process of working with that patient look like?
So we start with a 10-point evaluation of every athlete that comes in, and we use two technologies that we've partnered with since the beginning, Synaptic and NeuroTracker. We have the Synaptic Sensory Station, which is a large, basically a big Android touchscreen. And we use that to assess 10 different visual and motor and cognitive skills on every athlete. The great thing with Synaptic is it then takes the evaluation and it compares that athlete to a database of their peers in their sport, position, and age group. So we can rank them based on different things like visual acuity, eye-hand coordination, reaction time. And we can look and say, here's how you're a high school junior goalie, hockey goalie. Here's how you compare to all the goalies in the database. And here are some really, really great things you're doing, but here are some areas where you might be falling below 50%. So I'm going to use your evaluation to craft a specific training program for you to work on not only skills I know that are important for hockey goalies, but areas that you might be not as efficient in. And we reassess athletes every 6 to 12 sessions. And the great thing with Synaptic is it plots their current evaluation against their baseline, and we can actually measure improvement. So I think a lot of what has been hard in the past with sports vision is there's no way to measure, and parents want to see something, or they want to understand what they're paying for. So now we actually measure everything and we reevaluate, and we can show parents and athletes not only they feel the benefits when they're out on the playing field, but now we can actually measure that improvement in office as well.
The visual feedback is something that I feel like in optometry, especially when you're talking with athletes who are so results oriented, that having something tangible for them to be able to kind of follow is, I'm sure, really helpful for them.
Absolutely. Athletes love data and they love numbers and they love competition and they love knowing how they compare to their peers. So I think for them to be able to see what they're working on and to have a visual representation of what we're measuring, and then that feedback and that guidance that, yes, not only are you having the benefits when you're playing hockey, but here's how you've truly improved. And I think it just continues to motivate them to continue training. It motivates them to continue the program and to keep coming back that, wow, I am improving and I know I felt better. But that's hard to quantify. It's hard to quantify that you feel like your eye-hand coordination is better, that you feel like your muscle memory is better, your reaction time is better. Your performance you can measure, but there's so many things that go into that: sleep, nutrition, strength. There's a million things that go into a performance. So if we can isolate that in sports vision and show that we are measuring something specific and designing a training plan specific for that and remeasuring and we notice improvement, I think that's super motivating for an athlete and for a parent as well.
That's a really interesting point that you touched on there about performance, because it's something that I feel like every sports vision OD that I've spoken to has a different approach of how they have that discussion with athletes. And the main point that I've gathered from them is that they're not necessarily tying what they're doing in vision training to actual performance guarantees, because like you said, there are a lot of different variables that go into performance. So how do you approach that conversation and connecting the dots there for patients?
So I think we set expectations up front and say, we know everybody wants their child to be a professional athlete. And, realistically, that's a very small percentage. And we're very upfront with parents saying, if you are expecting our training to be the big difference for your athletes, we can't promise results. But with all the things you're doing, and that's, being consistent with your practicing, coaching, nutrition, recovery, sleep, conditioning, we are part of the team, but we are not in isolation the only thing. And that conversation has come up where we've had, kids who are struggling with other things, and the training was supposed to be a Hail Mary, that this is going to be the difference between them, making varsity and not. And we said, we can only do as much as the visual and cognitive system and physical system allow. So if all things are equal, we are certainly going to help. But in isolation, if you quit playing and practicing and strength training and ate whatever you want and barely slept, this is not going to make a difference. But adding to the regimen that most athletes are doing, this is going to help. But we have that conversation up front. And I think most people understand that and are realistic about expectations, and they're looking for something else. And the field of training has changed so much. When I was in college and I ran Division I track, nutrition really wasn't talked about. Strength training was optional, and I was a jumper and a field events person. So my strength training was not quite as optional, but I can imagine it looks very different. And when I left school at the end of the spring, I had a kind of a loose workout plan for the summer, where I can imagine that's very different now. So we know the benefits now of consistency and all of these other aspects of training. So I think this just naturally fits in well with that as well.
And so at this stage here, after you've conducted the initial evaluation, what's next from there?
So I get their assessment and I write up a review of how they did, along with we have a questionnaire that athletes and parents fill out where they mention things that they might be wanting to work on. And a lot of them, it's just overall athletic performance, but some notice that, you know, over time they lose focus towards the end of a game, or they perform worse at night, or they find that they are getting fatigue during different parts of the training or game. So we use our evaluation combined with whatever they are using to come in, and we develop a training program. So our trainers work with them to work on basic skills as well. We use basic vision therapy skills combined with a lot of the technology that's available with Synaptic, FitLight, and NeuroTracker. And we kind of build athletes through a program and incorporate sport-specific skills as well. We look at an athlete and look at the sport they're playing and say, we don't coach, you know, we're not going to coach a hockey goalie on their specific skills as a goalie, but we know what's important as a goalie visually, cognitively, and motor, what's important to a goalie. So we look at that and develop a training program that incorporates all of that. So that a hockey goalie is going to look very, very different than a tennis player, which is going to look very different than an Olympic figure skater. So they all go through a program using the same technology, but the way that they are working is a little bit different.
It seems that once you're actually identifying the areas of improvement, that you can actually track those. And that can be the way that you can be accountable to the patient, saying, these are the areas that I'm going to be focusing on for you. And then they also have some accountability as far as how much work they put into it to improve in those areas.
Absolutely. And they tend to work hard. You know, they want to improve. We get a really good group of people who come to work with us. And we have a lot of hockey players by nature. We're located in the second floor of a hockey facility. So we have a lot of hockey players that we work with, and they work really hard. I mean, they have grueling schedules of practice and on-ice time, off-ice time, tournament, conditioning, schoolwork, tutors. And, you know, so when they come in, they work very hard and they want to be there. If they don't want to be there, it's not going to work. So, you know, we've had a small handful of athletes that were parent driven. Their training was parent driven, and it just didn't work. It's hard. It's not physically demanding, but it's mentally draining, the training on purpose. We always tell them, you know, we're going to make it hard for you, because when you step out on the ice, to feel like everything is much easier, that the world slows down around you because you're processing at a different speed. You're making decisions faster because being out there as a hockey player or a basketball player or a lacrosse player becomes easy. So the training becomes difficult, and it makes them tired, and it makes them have to work hard. But we do that on purpose. So if they don't want to be there, it's very easy to give up. But we try and make it fun. And the ones that want to be there really embrace that. They're athletes. They want to be challenged. So we challenge them appropriately. And then when they get out on the field, it makes it a lot easier to do whatever their sport is.
And it seems to me that this can, in a way, be also a challenge for the OD just getting into this, just because if you're not familiar with these particular types of exercises or haven't really had an exposure to sports vision in school, that this could be kind of a new area that you're trying to acquire some of these skills in as well. So would a primary care OD, for example, who hasn't had any background in sports vision, would they feel at home walking into a practice like yours and using some of the equipment and training athletes? What things would they recognize? What things might be unique that would require kind of special exposure to the sports vision world?
I think, you know, they'd walk in and know some of them. We use heart charts and Marsden balls and Brock strings, which I think we're all familiar with from optometry school. It might be unfamiliar using them, but identify them. The technology that's available would be very unfamiliar, because that's all new, and it's actually, you know, new over the last couple of years. And this is a really great time to get into the field because there is so much technology available. But, you know, I think once you've done it and used the equipment, you know, my trainers and pick it up very quickly, athletes pick it up very quickly. So it's simple to use. It can be overwhelming to look at it, but with the clients that I've worked with who have said, I want to get into sports vision, but I'm overwhelmed at working with athletes. You know, my advice is always to start small and don't feel like you have to be an expert understanding everything about every sport. You know, I think about optometry, we're not experts in everything. You know, we refer out to glaucoma specialists and retinal specialists and other optometrists. You know, I refer out for binocular vision. I do sports vision, but I'm not a VT person. I don't, you know, do traditional vision therapy. I refer out for specialty contact lenses. So, you know, thinking about kind of putting yourself back in the shoes of, okay, I'm an optometrist, but I don't have to do everything, and kind of sitting and looking and saying, you know, what sports do I enjoy and what sports do I have knowledge of and understand, starting there and not thinking I have to go out and market to every little known sport that exists and try and know everything about everything. I still don't know probably most of the realm of sports vision, but I'm learning and I'm creative and I know what I don't know and I know what I need to know. And, you know, I didn't grow up actually knowing anything about hockey. I did not grow up playing hockey. I had really no exposure to hockey. So landing in a hockey rink and having a demographic to start of primarily hockey players and very, very high level D1 college hockey players and professionals, I had to learn quick. But I, you know, took a step back and said, no one's expecting me to be a coach, and we are not coaching. So I, you know, I look and say, in my realm of knowledge, what's important for a hockey player? What are the visual and motor skills that they need? And the AOA has a great website with sports vision. There's some great handbooks on there with different sports that have been developed over the years that people can use to say, okay, I have a baseball player coming in. I think I know, you know, I know baseball, but what are the skills that are needed for baseball? What are the visual skills? What are the terms of baseball? So there's some great handbooks there in the sports and performance part of the AOA that people can join. There's a Sports and Performance Vision Advocacy Network. There's kits. There's all these different things that are available. So we don't have to reinvent the wheel with everything. There are things out there that can help. So, you know, when I was starting, I used the manuals a lot. I reached out to other people and said, you know, teach me about hockey goalies. You know, what are they doing? You know, what are their skills? And when I was in optometry school and I was working with Dr. Teague's practice, I was a fourth year student and I rotated through in my fourth year. One of the athletes that they worked with a lot was he was a shooter. He was a trap shooter, and he would come in. He was probably in his, I'd say his 70s at the time. I think he's in his late 80s now. And he would talk about shooting. And I said to him one day, I said, you know, I have no idea what you're talking about. I can't visualize a, you know, trap shooting. So he said, okay, let's go trap shooting. So he took me one day trap shooting, and I was able to see what he meant and what he needed to do and kind of looked at it through his eyes. And he taught me how to shoot. But I, you know, now I understand shooting better and I can visualize what their needs are versus trying to just imagine it. So get out there. You know, my advice would be to start with something you're familiar with, but then get out there and put yourself in that athlete's position and see what you need to see and see what they need to see and kind of what the skills are.
That's definitely a great insight there, because it seems like even if you're an outsider, you can at least start getting the ball rolling and building that intuitive understanding, and then also lean in on colleagues who may have that personal experience actually playing that sport and might have that athlete's perspective as well to allow you to benefit from.
Right. And start with things, you know, I other than me, who didn't take my own advice and started with hockey and lacrosse, the two sports I had no knowledge of, but, you know, I think starting with things that people are genuinely interested in and have some familiarity with or that are popular in their area. You know, I helped a practice in Orlando start a sports vision practice. And I said, you know, what are the sports that are popular for you? And tennis and soccer are big. So I said, well, focus there, you know, start really building yourself as, you know, kind of the experts in tennis and soccer versus hockey versus figure skating, you know, some sports that might not be as popular. I mean, I'm in Fairfield County, Connecticut, which I think every sport is popular here, and there are leagues and coaches and specialty trainers for everything. So it can be overwhelming to look and go, oh my gosh, you know, you Google hockey teams and there's a million travel teams. So it can be overwhelming to figure out where to start, but starting small and starting with things that you're interested in and have a little bit of knowledge or that you've played. You know, I'm a triathlete and a runner. So my personal experience did not really help with any of the training. The sports that I'm familiar with really didn't help me. So, but if, you know, somebody's played hockey or played basketball or played baseball and tennis and can put themselves as the athlete and think about what they need as when they're playing, that really helps develop a training plan as well.
Absolutely. And I think we covered a lot of the different resources here that you had mentioned, from some of the written content that's available online. Are there any books that you've found to be particularly helpful?
Graham Erickson is a really, really powerful person in sports and performance vision. He has a great book. Don Teague also wrote a book. There are some great websites available. The International Sports Vision Association, which I've mentioned, they have a website chock full of information, and they're a great resource. Again, they have, you know, an international meeting coming up soon that has really, really great information. The AOA has just a huge amount, both on sports and performance vision and concussion. They're really, really working hard to elevate the public knowledge of what we do. At, you know, the AOA meeting, there's always some great lectures, Vision Expo as well. You know, there's always some of the really prominent people in sports and performance vision who have been around for a long time are really also excited about sharing their knowledge. So they tend to be there putting on lectures and putting on workshops of every varying amount of information, whether it be a new doctor getting into it or concussion protocols or advanced techniques in sports and performance vision. You know, I think if you look, you'll find some really great information everywhere.
From my personal experience, I could really attest that all those resources are really a wealth of knowledge. And as you mentioned, the interest in the area is growing. The AOA had been doing workshops for years now, and now with the increase in the interest, the International Sports Vision Association has come together, and that's an organization that's just dedicated to sports vision. So I think it's cool that the field is maturing to the level where we have, you know, year-round support and something to look forward to every year where people come together and trade that person-to-person knowledge too.
Absolutely. And there are people out there who are just excited to share what they do. And, you know, I've done a number of podcasts about this. And, you know, I've been writing a lot for different publications, Optometric Management, Review of Optometric Business. So just getting the word out and just getting people to understand what it is. And I think this is a great time because people are looking to differentiate their practices. We're looking for other ways to see patients, whether that be for personal reasons of, you know, trying different things, or economic and financial reasons of, you know, trying to add different cash pay services as well. So there's ways to generate additional revenue or to bring new patients in. And, you know, I think for me, it's been very rewarding to see Norwalk Eye Care grow as well from Performance 2020, because the athletes that start at Performance 2020, we usually recommend they have a comprehensive eye exam to start, but all of those athletes have siblings and parents and friends. And so I've seen a huge increase in my practice on the primary care side of people coming in because they've started at Performance 2020 or have heard of what we're doing, but they need an eye doctor. So it's a great way to grow a practice while starting a specialty practice and have kind of this cross management of patients and grow on both sides, and, you know, have patients see me in a different light. And most of my patients know I'm an athlete, but they didn't know anything about anything that I do. So when they see our website, or they see a brochure, or they've seen the video that we have on our website and hear me talk about it, they said, wow, I didn't know you did anything like that. And I think that's a great way for optometrists to differentiate themselves and for patients to see them on another level. And it only helps elevate the field of optometry and let the public see that we have such amazing things that we do as optometrists. And I think that helps the public see that it's not just about, and, you know, glasses and contact lenses, that we can do everything. And I think they look at me and go, wow, I didn't know that optometrists can do this. And that gives me an opening into a conversation to say, not only can we do that, we can do all of these other things. So it really opens that conversation and shows every patient that not only can they see me for primary care and sports vision, but everything else. So I think it's a great conversation to have in the exam room.
I absolutely agree. There's really not a better time, right, when we're dealing with patients directly and we're talking about vision and their goals. It's a great opportunity for us to utilize there. So I think we've covered a lot of ground here for people who are curious about sports vision, and for people who are interested in taking a deeper dive, we'll definitely be linking the resources that we have chatted about here so far in the article as well. So you can take a look at those and see if that's something that you want to further go into. And for some of the listeners who are interested in maybe picking your brain on a one-on-one basis, what are some opportunities for them to be able to get in touch with you directly?
So our website for our sports vision practice is Perform 2020. So it's Performance 2020, but the website is perform2020.com. We're on Instagram as well. I think you're going to link our Instagram page. People can feel free to reach out to me on our website. My practice is Norwalk Eye Care. So I'm happy to be reached there as well. We're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, we're on all the social media. So I welcome anyone who has any questions or interest or, is interested in getting into the field or finding out more. Feel free to reach out to me, but also to look into the ISVA, the International Sports Vision Association, and the AOA, and look at the sports and performance vision part of that as well, and get involved and really get out there and meet people. And, it's a grassroots effort. So the more people that we can get to join these organizations, to come to meetings and come to these great conferences and really get out there and get the word out, it only helps to elevate optometry.
I absolutely agree. And it's not very difficult when you see where the location for the meeting is going to be for ISVA, which is coming up in a couple of weeks. It's in San Diego.
It will not be a bad thing for us East Coasters to be out in some warmer weather. So I look forward to it. They have a great meeting every year. There will be some great classes as well. I'll be on the innovation stage at Vision Expo East. I'm speaking about tips about sports and performance vision. I'll also be at the IDOC Connection in February, the week after the ISVA. I'm co-speaking with Dr. Amanda Nanasi about how to follow your passion in optometry. So we both are sports and performance vision optometrists, a little different, but we are talking about how to just take what you'd like to do or what you have an interest in and make that your passion in optometry. So if you're going to the IDOC Connection, make sure you come to our workshop. I'll be giving a 6-hour lecture and workshop at the ISVA as an introduction to sports vision, and then also be at Vision Expo East on the innovation stage as well.
That's fantastic. And just for anyone curious, for the ISVA conference, it's going to be February 6th through the 8th in San Diego, and we'll definitely link the information to that here as well. So if this is something you have an interest in and you're traveling, doing CE, you can potentially just keep an eye out and catch some information along some of your already planned travels. And if you end up being even more interested, there's definitely a lot of resources to dive in deep.
Absolutely. And my last advice would be to also remember your optical and make sure that you have the correct sports and safety eyewear, and keep up to date. There's been some regulation changes in some of the sports, so making sure both doctors and their staff, especially their optical staff, are well-versed in what is going on and what their patients are leaving with, and having the conversation about the dress eyewear has no place on the field, court, or ice, and making sure that patients are wearing appropriate safety eyewear that has been independently tested. I think that independently tested piece is essential because anyone can test themselves. So, there are some different sports and safety eyewear that is independently tested, so we can feel confident that our athletes are leaving with the best protection, but that also becomes an added revenue stream as well, another way to set ourselves apart. So, that's another way to kind of toe the line and add in some sports vision without taking a huge plunge of technology and knowledge, but starting in a primary eye care practice of asking good questions in the exam room, correcting patients to the highest, to making sure they're seeing as well as they can be and making sure they're protected in every sport. I think if we all did that, we'd all be really setting our patients up for success and safety.
I couldn't agree more. I think there's definitely a lot of great takeaways, really, no matter what level of sports vision training you want to really get into. It seems like we can all contribute to patients. So that's really exciting to kind of have that on the back of your mind, that really any day you walk into the office, you have an opportunity to be involved in this part of optometry. So I definitely wanted to thank you for really being so generous with your time today and sharing all these great insights. And I'm sure people will be diving into some of the resources here and learning more about that. I hope you have a great time at the ISVA meeting, and we'll be looking forward to catch up with you later on as well.
Thank you for having me. This has been a great opportunity, so thank you.
That's a wrap for this episode, but it's only the beginning of the conversation. Please share your thoughts with us in the comment section on odsonfacebook.com, as well as in the ODs on Facebook group. If you have questions for our guests that you feel the whole community would benefit from learning the answers to, then please share those in the comments as well. Our guests will be jumping in the comments to continue the discussion with the community. And if you enjoyed the podcast, make sure you subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, and Stitcher by searching for ODs on Facebook podcast. Thanks, everyone, and we'll catch you on the next episode.